Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for coming to Comic Book Club Live. Please give it up for your hosts, Alex and Pete.
What's up, everybody? I'm Alex.
I am Pete.
And that's our man at the booth, Boothman Prime. And welcome to Comic Book Club. Welcome, 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 welcome. Now, you might notice our third host, Justin Tyler, is not here tonight. Yep. He actually had to go on a road trip. Where did he go again? He went to...
California, right?
Washington, D.C., right?
Oh, I thought it was... He was in a karaoke competition.
No, that's a different podcast. You're getting things mixed up.
Oh, man.
No, he went to Washington, D.C. He was taking care of some stuff. I don't know. He... Talk to some
said
people.
Somebody, yeah, he wanted to get rid of somebody.
He was inquiring about something, some sort of inquiry about something.
I don't know.
I don't know what it is. I don't know. It's not really a comic book thing, so
I think it was for HBO, though.
He
was
Oh, okay.
Yeah, yeah.
What was he asking about, like more Game of Thrones or something like that?
Yeah, he was probably demanding Game of Thrones. Otherwise, there was going to be consequences.
This is what I'm talking about. It's been too long. It's been several long years since Game of Thrones started. And we need to end Game of Thrones? Is that what we're getting? I'm very mixed up in this bit.
Yeah, yeah. Appreciate you trying, though.
Hey, anytime, man. Anytime. Do you know who else is trying and not that hard because they're being super cool about it?
Who?
Our guests, Pete.
Yeah!
Our guests. They are two amazing editors from Valiant Comics. They're here to talk about Bloodshot number one, which launches tomorrow.
Yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, Lisa Hawkins and Robert Myers!
Welcome back to the show.
Hello.
Welcome back. Great to have you. Have a microphone. Have a seat. Have a seat and a microphone.
Very excited to have both of you back on to chat about this book. I think we, last time we had you on separately, and you each talked about this book separately, but now you Voltron together to come on the stage.
Mind melded.
Nice.
Yes, very exciting. Bloodshot number one, this comes out tomorrow, right?
Yay, it does.
Yeah, you've been working on it for a really long time now, right, Lisa?
I have been.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a wonderful thing to see it come to fruition.
Yeah. So what was it? Well, let's talk about the creative team first. Did it start with the creative team? Did it start with Tim Seeley and Brett Booth? Did it start with we run a relaunch Bloodshot? How did it come together?
It started with we needed a new Bloodshot. We knew, you know, we've got a movie coming in February. It's got this up-and-coming actor named Vin Diesel in it. We needed a book that would prepare people for the movie. We talked to a lot of creators. Tim put together an amazing pitch. You know, he wrote our Bloodshot Free Comic Book Day story this year. This new series builds out of that.
He's a good writer, that guy.
He is. He's also just a good guy.
Yeah. No, he's wonderful. I actually met him in the 90s when I was working in editorial at Marvel. He was an intern there.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. He was an intern at Marvel.
He was.
Pete's feeling a little jealous right now because Pete loves Tim Seeley.
Yeah, I do.
And you've known him longer. Is that what's going on?
Yeah. I'm kind of
sorry.
It's all right. Good for you, though. Good for you. If I had a time machine, though, I would beat you to it.
Fair enough.
We can talk about the time machine in February.
No.
So Tim and Lisa put together an amazing story. Tim started writing, and it was coming incredible. We were going through who can draw this book, who's going to have the level. And then Brett reached out to us and said, guys, I'm available. I want to do something with you. And
And Robert actually mentioned Brett's name to me, and I said, Brett, God, I haven't worked with him since the 90s. Let me call him. So I reached out to Brett, and it was kismet. You know, he was excited about it, and from you can tell from the pages how excited he is.
Yeah.
He's really loving it and doing some of the best work I've ever seen him do.
Wow. Yeah, the entire team is elevated there to a new level with this book.
And it's just so charming because every time somebody turns in a page, it's like everybody's cheerleader.
Yeah.
They're like, oh, this is great. This is so hot. This is wonderful. As my assistant editor can attest.
Oh, nice.
It's a
plant
really
in the audience.
So it's very exciting.
Cool.
Now, when you say you're setting people up for the movie, I'm not necessarily fishing for spoilers. I'm just curious.
Seems like you're fishing.
Sure. Hey, you want to throw any out? That's fine. But is it when you're trying to do something like that? Are you trying to tee up the plot? Are you trying to tee up the tone? What's the goal there?
Yeah,
I think it's tone. You know, the goal obviously is a blockbuster film. We happen to have the biggest movie star on the planet, or one of the two biggest movie stars on the planet in the film.
There's only two,
right?
Okay. Yeah.
I mean, you know, it's the guy with one.
Him and Bob Newhart,
right? And Bob wasn't available,
exactly.
So
he's super busy.
So we wanted something that when people saw that movie, be like, I want to know more. We wanted something that would capture that magic in a bottle, which is a terrible cliche. I apologize. Okay. But we wanted something that could fit right in with that. And what Lisa and Tim and Brett and the rest of the team have put together is that.
Right. So since you're talking about the movie, would you say it's like Fast and the Furious meets James Bond? Like, how would you?
I'm sworn to secrecy.
Oh, okay.
And I wasn't allowed to read the script.
Oh, wow.
Oh, you know, really?
They didn't want me to read the script for...
So you're saying there was a script?
There was a
All
script.
All right. We there got it out of them.
I've read the script.
And I hear it's good, but I wasn't allowed to read it because they didn't want it to influence anything that I was doing in the book.
Oh, cool. Yeah.
So then where do you get the tone from? Is it through conversations with the production team, or where does that come from?
Well, you know, Tim described his Bloodshot as being a combination of Frankenstein, Superman, and John McClane.
Wow.
Which
that just
I thought
blew
was
my mind.
Perfect.
Right? Yeah.
I thought that was perfect. When I got to Valiant, Bloodshot was one of the characters that I didn't really want to have anything to do with. You know, from the 90s, he sort of was a character that I thought was, well, that's not... I'm going to say woman-friendly. I didn't see anything for me in that character.
Right.
But then I started reading, you know, the comics when I became part of the Valiant family. And I was amazed at how much depth the character had and how much I liked him.
Yeah.
I thought he was wonderful, but he was sad. And he was a tragic character because he was always used, you know. And I don't want to see an anti-hero. I want to see a full-blooded hero. So that is what we're doing with this Bloodshot relaunch. We're making him into a full-blown hero.
With abs.
With abs. And he's
that's
a little
news.
Funny,
he used
too.
To have that punch. Like
he's gone full Finn Balor. He's got abs. Oh,
okay. He's been depressed. Yeah. You lose weight when you're depressed. It happens.
I want to take a big step back. I assume most of the audience here knows who Bloodshot is, knows what the concept of the character is. But can you guys do the pitch for Bloodshot for anybody in the podcast listening audience who might not be familiar?
I'm going to pass that right to Lisa.
So polite.
I think you already said it. It's Superman meets John McClane meets Frankenstein's monster.
Sure. Okay. So he has a bunch of nanobots.
Yeah,
body,
so
right?
I mean, Bloodshot is a... he's a soldier, he's a warrior, he's a fighter who is also a science experiment. He's been turned into an ultimate killing machine. He still has a soul, he still has a heart, he still has a mind. You know, some of it's broken, some of it's fractured. What we're doing here, honestly, is healing that. We're giving Bloodshot agency for the first time in his entire run. I mean, I'm talking from 90s to now, we're giving him his own agency, which... is something that was very important to Lisa. It was very important to Tim from the jump. Was we needed someone who could go out and be active on his own, and so that's really I think what it is. It's got some real global politic in it. I don't mean that in a weird, scary way. In a very good, fun way. It's got some real issues in it. Tim is weaving in all kinds of heart into, you know, someone jumping into the blades of a helicopter because that was the mission.
I've really enjoyed the previous runs on Bloodshot, but there's a lot of very deep continuity in them.
Yes.
You know, he's gone to the dead side. He's gone to the future. We've seen old man Deadshot. He's got even farther to the future. He has a kid. There's a dog, Bloodshot, various things like that. This is a leading question because I know because I've read the first issue, but how much of that do you need to know getting into this first issue?
None of it.
Okay.
Nice. Yeah.
Okay.
Nice.
That's all revealed on that one page. You've read the issue. You know the page I'm talking about.
Yeah.
His entire history. you know, it's a perfect jumping on point for anybody, mm-hmm. because by the end of the issue, you're going to know exactly who he is, what his talents are, what his capabilities are. That's it. You're going to know who he is.
That's intentional.
You're just going to know who he is. You don't need to know any of that other stuff. It all exists. We haven't washed it away. We're not ignoring the past continuity. It's there.
Yeah.
But we're going forward. We will address everything else if you're interested in the future.
We're building on everything that is there. I mean, Bloodshot has a great, stable platform of story to build on. But we're not being beholden to anything.
That's right. You know, and if you're a fan of Magic or Jesse, don't worry.
Yeah.
You know, I have plans for Jesse. And, you know, Magic's, they're all there. It's just he needed to walk away from them for their protection.
Right.
We've touched on this a little bit, but one of the things that I think is so great about both the Free Comic Book Day issue and this issue is it's nonstop fun action throughout. From our perspective, we read a lot of comics. We enjoy comics. But when you're trying to structure an action comic book like that, something that just feels like that big budget action movie, what direction do you give a writer? What direction do you give an artist? How do you tackle a book like that? From an editorial perspective,
for me, it's been very easy with Tim because he's got his own agenda, and it sort of marries with mine. I think that in the future arcs, I'll have more of a say in that because he came to me and said, "This is my piece," and I was like, "Well, that's perfect. I love that. I'm not changing that."
It sounds like you've got
might tweak it here and there, but that's about it. You know, he had a pretty good idea of where he wanted to take this character, and I agreed with it completely. It's all about the action. You know, Bloodshot has to be nonstop action as well as heart.
Mm-hmm. And there's even some humor in there.
And there's humor, yeah. I think that you'll be pleased with the side characters that we're creating for this book. They're going to be really intriguing.
Yeah, some amazing new villains coming.
Yeah, and add something to his world.
Well, what can you tease about what's coming forward? Obviously, most of these folks haven't seen the first issue. We do have enough copies that everybody
gets an issue.
You're
going to
get a comic, and you're going to get a comic. Yeah, just right. You, though. We're just pointing at one guy. You're the only guy that's going to get
no comics
50
for
copies
you, or you,
company.
Or you.
Just whoever's wearing a tie gets a comic book. Yeah. And luckily, there's only one person with a tie on. Just worked out that way.
But what can you tease about what's coming up? Tim and Brett are on the book for a little while, and then things are going to switch up a little bit, right?
No. Tim and Brett are on it for the first six issues, and that tells two story arcs. Cool. And then we're going to go into another story arc with Mark Lamming is going to come in.
Hot off of Darth Vader, I believe.
Yes, yeah. Exactly. He's going to come in for a brief interlude, and then Brett's going to come back. Issue 10.
Yeah. Brett will be back next summer, and we have a big, I don't want to say event because that's sometimes a bad word, but we have a huge plan for when Brett comes back story-wise. Okay,
cool. If the movie is coming out in February, do you have something specifically timed for that?
Oh, we sure do.
We do.
Oh, look at this. Seems like they really planned ahead for this.
We've got we actually have multiple things planned.
Well, you know, we've learned by other comic book companies who haven't been prepared.
Yeah, one of the things with Valiant for the last 6-8 years is we're very data-driven. Like, we're fun, we're creative, we're story-driven. But behind the scenes, we crunch as much data as we can find. So we have a very, very robust plan to take advantage of the excitement for the movie.
Cool. Right. And we want it to be as user-friendly as possible. We want the person that has never heard of Valiant before, who went to see that Bloodshot movie, say, "Oh, I want to pick up a Bloodshot comic," and then be able to go into their local comic book store and find something that they can just jump right onto.
Yeah, and we want that fan that read Bloodshot 30 some odd whatever years ago to come in and be like, "Oh my gosh, I remember that book, that comic that came out the same day as Death of Superman. I want that book. I forgot how good that was."
Numbers.
I sold that book that day.
Wow.
Really?
I did. I worked at a comic shop in those years. But I was on the phone with Don Perlin today talking about doing a cover for us. Don being the actual creator, one of the creators of Bloodshot.
Wow.
And I was on an email with Kevin Van Hook today.
So the two creators of Bloodshot.
I talked to Pete LePage.
So we want to honor all of those guys. We want to honor all those fans that, were there for us in, 1992, 93, 94, et cetera. We also want to make sure that someone who walks out of that movie who was like blown away by it has a book they can pick up that day and enjoy.
Nice. Very cool. Bloodshot number one on stands tomorrow. Definitely I'll pick it up. I can say confidently it is a blast to read. Pete, do you agree?
Agreed.
Oh, yay. I'm glad you like it. Thank you very much.
Oh, it's so much fun. I hope you guys enjoy it too. We'll give some out throughout the show. We're going to move on to our next section, which we like to call the stack.
Woo-hoo!
Woo! And in the stack, we're going to talk about a couple of other books that came out this week. You guys are welcome to weigh in if you like. First one we're going to talk about is Batman number 79 from DC Comics. I'll pass this over your way if you want to take a look. So this is wrapping up a little bit of an interlude in the City of Bane storyline. Bane has taken over Gotham. Meanwhile, Batman is convalescing in Europe with Catwoman. He was completely beaten by Bane, as usual, and he is trying to get better as well as repair his relationship with Catwoman. You've been bereft because of the Batman-Catwoman relationship, Pete. How'd you feel about this issue?
Well, first, I want to address all the big words you're using. I'm really just trying to losing your audience. But
we work in comics. Can we break those down to smaller words?
Yeah, no problem.
I'm kidding.
Wow, bam!
Thanks. Now I can follow what you're saying.
Okay.
Yeah, I was out of breath when I was reading this. I think that's what you meant. But no, I think that this is like...
It's not, by the way.
Yeah, I know. It's... adorable and so romantic and so powerful and so sweet, but at the same time so torturous because we know what's going on right now in Gotham. So it's everything that I wanted, but at the wrong time. So it's like it's very hard to enjoy it, even though that I'm really loving how sweet and how well things are really coming together for them.
Well, I'll tell you, Pete, I was on board with that the last issue. We were both feeling the same way. We were like, why are you guys having drinks in Europe? Alfred is dying right now at Gotham. Yeah. What's wrong with you people? But they set the timeline a little differently in this issue.
Yeah, they pushed it back.
Right, that hasn't happened yet.
Right.
So this is actually happening before all those things.
I'm a little behind.
Yes, sorry to spoil it.
But I'm gonna posit two things.
Yes.
Sure.
If I was to get my ass kicked by Bane, I would do it on purpose to hang out with Catwoman on a beach in Europe. if I'm Bruce Wayne.
Right. Sure.
Yeah. Second, if I'm gonna have anybody draw that issue, it's Clay Mann. I mean, come on.
Oh man, yeah.
It's
speaking of abs, dude, there's so many abs in this.
I know.
Yeah, well, I think he has abs like up to his face.
Yeah. Clay is the one who gave Ninjak his abs.
Really?
Ooh.
There are so many gorgeous sequences in here.
It's a beautiful book.
There's them on a lake. There's one of them standing in front of a sunset that's absolutely stunning. It's an amazing issue. And
also, just as romantic, them beating up a bad guy in a convenience store.
Yeah. I really do think Tom King has gone all in on the Batman-Catwoman relationship in this series, and it works.
Like, yeah. Every time they do the old bat and cat thing, I'm like, oh.
Yeah. Tom is a genius at relationships.
Yeah.
I mean, he's a genius in general, but
he makes
his
people
relationship
like Kite
writing
Man.
Is incredible.
Yeah. it's a great issue. Definitely pick that up. Next one we're going to talk about, this is from Image Comics, The Weatherman, Volume 2, Number 4.
I can't look at this yet because spoilers.
Oh, yes. Okay, so we'll skirt it.
You might want to earmuff
it.
I don't know if you remember, last time I was here, that's the book I plugged.
Yes, yeah. It's... So, well, what do you like about it? What makes you a fan of this book?
Everything. Honestly, like Jody and Nathan have just done an incredible thing.
Yeah.
I love how weird and quirky it is.
Yeah.
I love that they're not afraid to kill man's best friend in the first issue, which I also
hate. Thanks for bringing that back up. Yeah,
I'm going to cry too. It's okay. But I love every issue has a twist and a reveal that I'm not expecting.
Yeah.
Which you know, I know Jody personally. It's not by accident that this book is so good.
And it's also like if you tried to explain it to somebody, they would be like, "What?"
Yeah.
But it's done in such an amazing way that you're so into it.
Yeah.
The art really meets the storytelling and creates this beautiful world that is both because you're finding out what's happening along with a lot of the characters, especially the main character who kind of had his mind wiped, if you will. He doesn't know kind of who he really is. So,
but it's such a weird twist on that trope, too.
Yeah.
It's, or no, and by weird, I mean interesting.
Yeah. It. I missed an issue or two somewhere in there. So every single issue, I have trouble following exactly what goes on from a plot perspective. But to your point, Nathan Fox's art is so incredible. This issue alone, there's giant squid monsters, teleporting polar bears, cat people, people reconstituting their bodies out of nothing. It's amazing to look at. It's a blast visually.
The polar bear stuff was also very touching, too.
Yes, it was very sad.
He does such an incredible job with acting and emoting. Like, the characters seem real, and it's like, he does faces incredibly.
Also, one of, you know, normally, like, this main character could be very annoying, and you could hate him very easily, but it's done in such an interesting way where you don't, which is weird.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Great book. Definitely pick that up. Last one we're going to talk about, also from DC Comics, Justice League number 32, continuing the Justice League Doom War that's been going on. I'll pass this your way. Sorry to interrupt your
drinking. That's okay.
The Justice League and the Legion of Doom have been fighting for the fate of all the multiverses, not one multiverse, but multiple multiverses. Oh, yeah. They've been trying to recruit the Monitor, the Anti-Monitor. What's it? The World Forger is the third guy. The third brother, to fight Perpetua, who created all of the multiverses and wants to bring doom to everything. It's a ridiculously huge storytelling. Members of the Justice League are trapped in the past. Some of them are trapped in the future. They're fighting Brainiac, Lex Luthor, who's been taken over by a Martian. It's insanity from front to back. Yeah. What do you think about this issue, Pete?
This is great because we get a fun walk on, if you will, from Aquaman, which is just absolutely fantastic. It's very intense, but they're always they put little small moments in there to kind of make it powerful and great. I think they're really tackling a lot, but doing such a great job with this. Sometimes with the Justice League book or stuff like that, there's so much going on, you don't get little moments. So I think they've been doing a great job storytelling-wise with this.
Well, I think one of the things that works about this is it's written by Scott Snyder and James Tynion IV, who
have you heard of them?
Well, they work so well together, but Scott has a tendency to just packs so much dense information in things, and James errs on the side of the characters and the relationships, and they balance each other out so nicely in here that they're working on DC mythology redefining stuff, which is huge. But to your point, you still have those little co-character moments, like Kamon Dee being like, wow, so cool, we're traveling through all of these histories. Isn't that fun? And he's just having a good time. Yeah. Or same thing with the Justice Society back in the past, where they're just having fun riffs with the Justice League that are trapped with him. But again, in the middle of like, okay, real quick, we got to info dump you on this crazy amount of stuff as quickly as possible. And that's what makes it work for me, at least.
You've sold me.
Yeah.
I am even further behind in Justice League than I am in Batman. But you've sold me.
Cool.
It's a lot of stuff.
That sounds fun.
The crazier part is it feels like it's leading up to something even bigger, and I don't even know how that's possible.
It's true.
But there you go. Definitely pick that up. And that's it for the stack.
Yeah.
Woo! All right. Our next section is my favorite section because you guys make it up. It's your audience questions. Woo-hoo. So I'm going to come out to you guys. You guys are going to ask the questions either for our amazing guests or about anything that comes to your mind. Pete, meanwhile, is going to hand out issues of Bloodshot to everybody while
I
talk.
And posters.
Yeah, and we have some Bloodshot posters as well to hand you guys. I saw your hand up first. What's your name? What's your question?
My name is Kevin, and you talked about how initially you thought you would not like Bloodshot, and it turned out you did, and you mentioned just now with the Weatherman, you thought it was a character that you wouldn't like, but you're so compelled by the story. What are some other titles that you initially resisted or thought, I'm not going to like this, that you turned out really, really loving?
Oh, that's a good question.
That is a good question.
So it was characters that you initially thought you wouldn't like that you ended up loving. Characters, titles, anything like that.
I would say, honestly, for me, The Punisher. Mm-hmm. The Punisher feels like a character that I shouldn't like, and I really do. I think, and there's some specific like moments within the Punisher's arc. For me, that moment honestly was Punisher War Journal with.
I love that.
Exactly. It's like a book I shouldn't like for a lot of reasons, but I really, really like it. And then what kind of just recently kind of brought it home for me was some of the recent work Garth Ennis has been doing with the character, but also the show. The Punisher, the Netflix show, was it was beautiful. And it's a deep dive into post-traumatic stress syndrome, and it's beautiful. And
I love the angle they took on that.
Yeah,
and
it's so good.
There's a character that
it's one-dimensional, sorry. It's like a one-dimensional character that they've just found so much depth, and there's a one shot.
There's this one shot of John Bernthal like sitting on the top of a construction site, and like you're looking over his shoulder as he looks at New York City.
Yeah.
And it is such an interesting just shot and perspective, and like, yeah, and I'm so happy that they're kind of dealing with the post-traumatic stress and like the meetings and how you do that. And it's not him being like, you know, it's like really having him kind of explore. And it's very powerful in different ways than people expected, which is enjoyable.
No, exactly. I completely agree. I thought the thing with the Netflix series was that you really got to deal with veterans' trauma that you just never see handled anywhere, and they did such a fine job at it. I agree.
It's really handled with care.
Yeah. Handled with love.
Mm-hmm. Pete, do you have an answer?
There's definitely stuff that I've been surprised at, stuff that like you have liked that I've slowly gotten on board with, that I've been like, oh my God, this isn't as bad as I originally thought.
Oh, great.
And
so what's a book that I really wore you down on, Pete?
I would say
Bloodshot.
Archie, the Riverdale stuff. I was really pleasantly surprised at how much I really got into that, especially the new Archie stuff that they're doing. And it started with the afterlife, where to me, I never wanted to, like, I was never going to be like, oh, I'm going to go to the comic book shop and pick up an Archie book. So it really opened me up to more stuff from them. That it's just so creatively different than you expect. So it was a very pleasant surprise.
Yeah, I definitely agree with Punisher. It's the same way for me, but there are certain runs that are just so good. Matt Rosenberg's run that's going on right now is just a blast to read, even though I'm not necessarily into the Punisher. But another recent one from Marvel, Death's Head. The title that's coming out now. I never really cared about Death's Head, but the current run, there are only three issues in, and it's super fun. It's very silly. The supporting cast is a lot of fun as well. I'm enjoying it a lot.
Teeny has a way of doing that.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Great question. You're going to get some additional free comics, I think. Do we have another question? You, sir, were you raising your hand? You were not, then sit down.
He just wants free comics.
Don't worry about it. You can also get some free comics eventually. Does anybody have any questions? Absolutely. You, sir. Yes. What's your name? What's your question?
Wait, first, sweet stash, sir.
Thank you.
That's very respectable.
That's really all I was searching for. But, you know, there's a lot of X-Men stuff going on in the world today. I don't know if you were aware of that. But
yes, we are.
I'm just curious about the panel's favorite X characters, and maybe especially characters that are being underserved right now. X-Men that you'd
just
love to see.
You just lit this guy up right here. Couldn't be happier.
I mean, I'll also say I do work with Lisa, so I know that she has some opinions on this.
Drew. Yeah,
well, I talk about it a lot on the show. What are your thoughts, Lisa?
All right, I want to see more Dazzler. Lots and lots more Dazzler.
Love it.
So I'm being served really well because the two characters I would have picked were Magic and Cypher, and, well, they're back. I'm enjoying what Jonathan and team are doing with the book. I will say there was a minute in the first issue of House of X where I went, what's going on? I'm so confused. Mm-hmm. And I took that and I set it down. Not the book, that thought.
Yeah.
And then I was able to dive in, and I've really enjoyed what's going on. I think it's a fun, deep, and obviously time-spanning story.
I feel like I had a very similar reaction to it as well, where the first issue, there's so much information there. It doesn't feel like the X-Men. You have those alarming first two pages.
Yeah.
And I like the art. I like the way it was structured. There's a lot of interesting ideas. But it was very much this cumulative effect where by the time they got to the Moira Taggart issue,
kicked me.
That was
the
one where I was like, oh, okay, now I'm completely on board with this, wherever you want to take me.
Yeah, it was like literally kicked me in the teeth, that issue.
So good.
And I'm two issues behind, so everybody be careful.
Oh.
I am not caught up, but I was in the X office for many years, and they're very
X-Men
near.
X-Men Unlimited right here.
Yeah.
Oh, nice.
Very, very near and dear to my heart.
Well, given that background, what draws you to Dazzler in particular?
Oh, gosh. Well, that was actually one of my X-Men Limiteds with Jill Thompson. I did a fun one. She's just great. You know, the fans used to send me things all the time for Dazzler, like collages that they would make of Dazzler. It was amazing, like really heartfelt things. And I was like, why do you love this character so much? And so I dug deep into her. And I was like, yeah, I would travel throughout the universe with Dazzler. I think she's fabulous. Just good. She's just good. And we don't see enough people on roller skates anymore.
Right? That's what we need. That's going to be the big reveal at the end of Hickman's run.
I would like to introduce you to Roller Blades and Southern California circa 2005.
She's roller skates.
I know, but I'm just saying they're back. They're just different.
Yeah,
Pete, what about you? I'm aware of your feelings.
Yeah, yeah. So, I just think it's one of those things for me, like, I don't recognize this X-Men. This is a more evil, darker X-Men that I'm having a hard time relating to, and I'm also having a hard time picking sides, like, who am I rooting for, you know? But I am very much appreciating the fact that this is a huge swing and they're really making a choice that is not only like artistic, but years in coming. And it's like, it's very cool to be on the ground floor with and being kind of, it's a great being a comic fan right now because it's like, oh my God, I was here for when this started. But yeah, I'm excited to get to the other side of like this. All this is kind of out of the way. Where do we go from here type of thing? And then when do I get to see the good guys?
Right.
Because so far, everybody's fucking awful.
Right. Yeah, that's a problem.
Yeah.
Is there a character you want to see more of that you feel like is being underserved?
No, they're all bad. they're all, it's like, you know.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
That's a problem with editorial. Yeah.
I will say, just before we move on to another question, my big question right now is where are Rogue and Gambit? Because they haven't showed up.
They haven't shown up at all.
At all. And it feels like there's some sort of story to tell there because it's such a glaring, obvious them not being there. So I want to know what's going on.
Well, there's a bunch of people we haven't seen yet. I mean,
sure, but they were so prominent, so much a part of the teams, and to be like completely off the board, not even in the background.
It's got to be intentional.
Exactly. So I'm very curious. Yes, you have a question now. You may stand up. What is your name? What is your question?
I feel like in school. My question goes back to the X-Men. This current incarnation of X-Men, whatever you want to call it, would you like to see it team up with any characters within the Valiant universe at some point?
Ooh, interesting. Oh. Crossover.
Well, actually, there was just a poll recently where Bloodshot was against Wolverine, and they wondered who would win fight.
They're not. There are obviously not other comic book related podcasts.
Oh, yes, of course not.
But this might have been on one of those other non-comic related podcasts.
Yeah. I didn't think those existed.
I didn't either.
Okay,
I was shocked.
Right. Yeah.
Don't worry.
But we'll guess who won?
Bloodshot.
Yeah, exactly.
So, Bloodshot Wolverine crossover would be super fun.
I would love that.
My roommate works at Marvel. Maybe we can make it happen.
I'm the person to edit that.
I would hope, though, that it would be like the old school where it was like at first they would fight, but then they would team up.
Of course.
Okay, all right.
Oh, my God, of course.
Okay, yeah. Cool.
I feel like they still happen sometimes, but 20, 30 years ago or so, there were a lot more crossovers like sure. that. Is there a
Amalgam.
Reason? What?
Amalgam.
Yeah.
They've brought some of that back, like Batman teaming up with Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles is super popular right now.
Right. I mean, we're seeing a couple of things like that. Is there a reason we don't see as many crossovers like that nowadays?
Yeah. I think everybody's just super protective of their intellectual property. I think everybody's super protective of what could happen out down the road with these things. Mm-hmm. I think it's fun. I think it's a thing that we should be doing more of, but I'm only one person in one editorial office. I don't speak for the lawyers.
Plus, yeah, it would be, you know, a lot of different teams have to talk on different levels. It would be tough. But as somebody who, like, because of crossover events in my childhood, like, it widened my comic book reading.
Absolutely. Right.
Because there would be a title that I would pick up, and then all of a sudden there was a crossover, and I was like, hey, what? And then I got it to go down a whole different path. You
which
know?
We absolutely need more of. Yeah. And there are places to do it. There are places to do it. I would love to see it. I'd love to be part of it. It's just when, where, who, what, why.
I mean, Amalgam worked because it was Mark Gruenwald and Mike Carlin, and they were best friends. Mm. You know, the respective heads of each other's company, Marvel and DC, so they were able to make that work.
Okay, so more friends is what you're saying.
Yeah, and it's
we need to all get along. We just need to get along.
It's pretty bad when you get on the floor of a Comic-Con. Everybody just immediately starts fighting. It's awful.
Yeah, well, it happens brawling. Right before the doors open and right after they close. Sunday, Javits Center, 7 p.m.
That's why everything is so cheap.
I'll tell you who comes out on top. Valiant.
You guys are scrappy.
Are you trying to pick a fight at the Comic-Con?
No, I'm just saying that we've got...
I don't know. It kind of like sounded like you said 7 o'clock, meet me at the doors. DC, we're going to battle royale.
I'm just saying that we have tougher interns.
Oh! Shots fired.
Nice.
Gauntlet.
There you go. Work at a comic book company as an intern, you're going to die. I think we could take one more question from anybody. Absolutely anything. You over there, can you come on up? What's your name? What's your question?
Oh, yeah. My name is Alex. So now that we have this Bloodshot movie coming out in the theaters, what other Valiant characters would you think would be cool to see on the big screen?
Dr. Mirage.
Oh, Dr. Mirage would be great.
Shadow Man.
I mean, we know Harbinger's coming. That's kind of next in the queue.
Yeah. Is that still in the works?
Still in the works. It's there was a bunch of news last week with the property. It's at Paramount. Same production team, same script, same everybody who's attached to it is there. It's as far as we understand, it's getting pushed to the top of the queue. And there's a lot more coming. I can't speak about all of it because we're inside, but there's still helicopters. But Dr. Mirage is actually in that list. I had a call yesterday with our LA office, and the things are coming hot and heavy. We're going to have a lot of news in the next probably 18 months.
I mean, I don't know if you can necessarily speak to this, but there's always a lot of talk in fandom about shared universes. It works for Marvel. It doesn't quite seem to have worked for anybody else. What's your take on it?
Well, I think we forget that it's working for Marvel right now. Yeah. It didn't work for Marvel for a long time. Mm-hmm. Remember, there was a period where the DC movies were the good comic movies.
Right, yeah.
And now we live in an opposite universe, and soon we'll live in a universe where the Valiant movies are the good comic movies. And we'll still love the other movies and properties that are out there. So I think it's cyclical. I think it's all cyclical. I mean, media, we know, is cyclical. Like, it is what it is. It just depends on what strikes a sympathetic chord with the viewer. I don't think it has anything to do necessarily with the company. I think it's a sympathetic chord with the viewer.
Cool. Yeah. All right. And that is it for your audience questions. For our next section, we're going to go over to Mr. Pete LePage for some trivia.
All right.
Let's do it, Pete.
This is the part we give back to you, the lovely audience. It's an opportunity to win $25 free in the form of a gift card to Midtown Comics, because if you had 25 bucks, you go to a comic book shop. Who would like $25 free? Simple raising of the hand.
Come on, you can be standing here with the star of trivia. Star of trivia himself, Pete LePage. You could be standing on stage. I'm trying to help you out.
Justin is not here.
No,
you don't
have
to douche it up.
No, I'm not douching it up.
You are douching it up.
People seemed a little reticent to raise their hands. I thought I'd spice it up a little bit by telling him you're going to be standing here with the star of trivia.
All right, come on.
Here we go.
It's just guys, new people. He's been up here. I was looking to you, you know, get some new blood, but all right.
Come on, new blood. Come on.
All right. Bloodshot, new blood.
You know? Podcast alive. Come on.
All right. Remind us of your name again, Pablo. Pablo, audience, Pablo.
Hello, I'm Pablo.
All right, Pablo, I'm going to read you a question. Listen to all three possible answers. Get all three questions right. $25 yours. Today's trivia is on topical comic and pop culture news. Here we go. Question number one. Marvel announced what exclusive thing for the New York Comic Con? Is it A, glow-in-the-dark variants, B, Pizza the Rat variants, or is it C, Noble Willingham? So it's either A, which is the only answer that makes sense, or you could be wrong.
I'm not going to be wrong because it's A.
That is correct, sir. All right, question number two. What finale has been pushed back 2 weeks? Is it A, Alf the Musical, B, Silver Surfer Black, or is it C, Frank Whaley? So it's either A, which is not correct, or you could.
But are there still tickets available for Elf the Musical?
Hey, listen, I would be first guy. I would be first guy in line.
Dude, I've seen it. It's really good.
Monster, I love it.
Oh yeah,
man, I'm out of the loop with this one.
Sorry, maybe you're not old enough. Please say B so we can move on.
Let's move on because it's B.
Yeah, all right, great. Okay, here we go. Last one. Who is being brought back in Detective Comics number 1012? Is it A, Nora Freeze, B, Matches Malone, or is it C, Jennifer Connelly? Oh, my God, that guy's smart. That guy is super smart.
Sounds like a John Candy movie.
Yeah. Is it A, and you get $25, or is it B or C?
It's got to be A.
A is correct. $25 free. See, audience, so easy. You could have been that. You could have had $25.
Oh, man. Wow. I'm really looking
forward
to Alf the
Musical. Just raise your hand next time, guys. Yeah.
What's your favorite song from Alf the Musical, Pete?
Oh, man. It would probably have to be something about how tasty cats are.
Oh, yeah. I like Melmac, nothing but Melmac. Now, as we all know.
Wow. You like nice, that? Man.
Ha! I kill me.
Ha!
Anyway, what are we talking about? Oh, yeah, you have some weird secret quiz that you do where it's always a John Candy movie. I feel like Kevin has figured it out, but real quick, repeat your three
clues. Noble
clues.
Willingham,
yep.
Frank Whaley, and Jennifer Connelly.
What John Candy movie is he confusingly talking about, Kevin?
Career Opportunities.
Career yes. Opportunities is correct,
yes.
Sir.
Well done. Well done.
Well done. Well done.
Real quick, is this John Candy thing almost over, Pete?
Yeah. Yeah.
Great.
It's
That's
getting
great.
Close.
That's a deep cut.
Thank you. Thank
He's
you.
Running out of movies.
Yeah.
As we all know, tomorrow is New Comic Book Day. We recommend you go to Midtown Comics because they've been nice enough to sponsor the show. Pete, what are you looking forward to?
Well, I'm looking forward to Deadly Class number 40, as well as Wolverine Annual number 1.
Oh, great. Anything you want to say about either title?
They're great, and I can't wait to read them.
Great. Thanks, Pete. I'm looking forward to Harleen number 1. Ooh, is coming out tomorrow from DC Comics for their Black Label imprint.
Oh, nice.
It is written and drawn by, I never get his name correct, but Stefan Sepcik, I think.
I think that's close.
It's close. It's closest. I love his art. His writing is a lot of fun as well.
It's a big book. It's a lot of pages.
Big book, a lot of pages. But we are going to have a review of it in our Stack podcast, which rolls out in the Comic Book Club feed and its own feed Wednesday at 9 a.m. So check out a review of that and plenty more titles. What do you all want to plug? I assume Bloodshot number 1.
It does come out tomorrow, which, yeah. You know, I'll be swinging by anyone
Comics in Brooklyn tomorrow. I love Midtown, but that's my local store.
Oh, yeah. Nice.
And I'm like 3 weeks behind, so I have a plethora of titles to look forward to. Please, you know, Bloodshot number one. It's real good.
Yeah. Cool. Lisa, anything else you want to plug?
Of course. All my books, unfortunately. Bloodshot, obviously. Bloodshot's great. I think you should pick it up and give it a chance. Dr. Mirage, number two, comes out the following week.
Yes.
It's awesome and amazing, and you should pick that up as well. Roku comes out in October. If you like a fun John Wick type of nonstop action adventure type of book, then you're going to love this one. It's great. Nonstop fun.
And no dogs are killed.
Oh.
No dogs are killed.
Okay.
Everybody else. Yeah. But no dogs.
Right. Okay. Literally everybody else.
Excellent.
And then Rye comes out in November, and Rye is fantastic. Right. So
can I circle?
Gorgeous.
Yeah, please. Yeah.
We dropped a teaser today for the thing that I'm not allowed to talk about yet, but you could look at it tonight, or you could
clang,
look,
clang, clang.
You could look at the teaser tomorrow.
Ooh, good plugs, good teases. We got a little tease of our own. In addition to our regular Tuesday show, we're going to be doing a special New York Comic Con kickoff show on Thursday, October 3rd at 9:30 at a venue called Caveat. We have a special guest who is Donnie Cates, the writer of Absolute Carnage, among many, many other things. So we're very excited to have him. So definitely come. Go to the con. Come by, chill out, we'll hang out, we'll have a couple of drinks and chat comics and things like that.
It'll be fun.
It'll be a fun
time.
Fun.
Donnie's great.
Oh, fantastic. Yeah. He used to come to the show as when he was an intern at Marvel. Mm-hmm. So we're going to lord that over him. I'm very excited.
That doesn't seem like a nice thing to do, Alex.
I'm going
to
really cut him down a notch.
Oh, my God.
A couple of other things to plug before we go. We do a bunch of other podcasts. Preacher Men, our Preacher podcast, sadly is almost wrapped up.
Oh,
there's one
God.
More episode.
We need
come.
A Valiant show for you guys to do a podcast about.
Yes.
Yeah.
I'm going to get on that.
All right, okay. Thank you. All right, make thank that you. Happen.
I can't wait to see the Bloodshot movie.
So we do have
movie.
Preacher Man, our Preacher podcast. We've also been doing Watchmen Watch, our Watchmen podcast. That rolls out Mondays and Thursdays twice a week. We've been going back, revisiting Watchmen issue by issue as we lead into the premiere of the show on HBO. Nice. And then we'll be chatting about that. Also, we have Riverdale After Dark. Our Riverdale podcast is coming back very soon.
So soon.
You excited, Pete?
Oh, the madness. I'm emotionally not prepared for the first episode, but I can't wait for everything after that.
All right, that's going to be very cool. Pete, what else do you want to plug?
Friend us on Facebook so you get to know about the amazing guests we have on our live show.
You can also follow us on Twitter at Comic Book Live. Check out all of the podcasts at comicbookclublive.com. You can support them at patreon.com/comicbookclub. Subscribe and comment on iTunes, Android, Spotify, Stitcher, or the app of your choice. A couple of people we want to thank before we go. We want to thank Robert and Lisa for being on the show.
Thank you, guys.
Boothman Prime.
Boothman Prime.
But most of all, we want to thank you guys. We're every Tuesday night at 8 p.m. totally free. Please tell your friends. Good night.
Thanks, everybody. Thank you.
Thank you. 1, 2.